Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, David. Here is a question I want to ask us. Isn't it true that you can live with someone or be with someone for years and never really know them? That's very true. And it was true for Jesus and his disciples. He spent 3 years with them on earth. And after 3 years, they did not really perceive and understood who Jesus was. And so Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to really perceive and understand who Jesus really was. In fact, not only the disciples, but no one really knows Jesus until he reveals himself to them. No one can actually know him until he makes himself known. It's one thing to know someone on the outside, but it's another thing to actually know what they are all about. And so the disciples did not understand what Jesus Christ was all about. Neither his family, even his friends, did not perceive Jesus. In fact, after he rose from the grave, they did not even believe that he was alive. Because in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, afterward, he appeared to 11 as they were reclining at the table, and he approached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. So Jesus' disciples did not really understand who he was, what he was all about. But it was very important for Jesus that his disciples understood who he was. It was extremely important. And so after his resurrection, Jesus Christ spent 40 days on earth. From the day of his resurrection to the day he went back up to the Father, 40 days on earth with his friends, with his followers. And he spent 40 days for a specific purpose. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Acts chapter 1, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 3. This is Luke writing. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts. And so in verses 1 to 3, in Acts chapter 1, it says, the first account I composed, the first account would be the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, 40 days. And speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So the Gospel of Luke, which was written by Luke, tells us about the life of Jesus Christ on earth. And the book of Acts tells us about the work of Jesus Christ while he is in heaven. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension were very significant, very important for Jesus and his disciples, and also for us. So this morning I would like to look at the importance of the 40 days that Jesus Christ spent on earth. 40 days on earth after his resurrection. He spent 40 days to show his disciples that he's alive. He spent 40 days to show them that he is Lord. And he spent 40 days with them to share in his glory with them. So let us go through this morning. First of all, let's look at the length of time that Jesus spent between his resurrection and ascension, 40 days. And the Bible has a lot to say about 40 days. The number 40, very significant in the scriptures. And I just want to look at a few of those. First of all, in the Old Testament, you recall the flood of Noah. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 12. 40 days and 40 nights. In Exodus chapter 7, we're told that the Israelites, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And God fed them with manna for 40 years in the wilderness. Then in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28, we read that Moses spent 40 days and nights on the mountain with the Lord when he was receiving the covenant from the Lord for God's people, 40 days. So the number 40 is very significant in the scriptures. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus, the public life of Jesus, the first thing we notice about him is that he spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. So at the beginning, at the commencement of his ministry, at the commencement of his public life, Jesus Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And his life concluded after his resurrection with him spending 40 days with his followers. Right? So his ministry began with 40 days being tempted, and it concluded with 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended into heaven. Now, the number 40 in the scriptures, some say, speaks of testing. It's a time of testing. But I also believe that the number 40 could also speak of a time of revelation, a time when God reveals himself to his people. So I want us to look at, secondly, the people to whom Jesus appeared between his resurrection and ascension. Because Jesus Christ did not appear to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He appeared to specific people. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 to 8, we have a list of the different people whom Jesus appeared to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 to 8. I'll begin from verse 1. It says that I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And here it is. And that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than I was looking at the screen there. I was reading in my scriptures and then I turned to the screen. But notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. So Jesus Christ appeared to Peter, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5. Peter is called Cephas here. That was his name before Jesus Christ changed his name from Cephas to Peter, right? To Cephas, then to the 12, and so on. So these are the people to whom Jesus appeared. Now, of course, at his resurrection, we know that there were women who went to the tomb to look for him on the first day of the week. We read that in Luke chapter 24, that it was early dawn, and they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So there were women who went to look for the body of Jesus. But that's a different matter here. What we are speaking of is Jesus's 40 days when he specifically appeared to his disciples. And they are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in Luke chapter 24, there is a story about Jesus Christ encountering two disciples who were on their way to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. And these two on the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24, verse 13, they were going up to that place, and they were very despondent because Jesus Christ was crucified, and they were very sad. And while they were on their way to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them, but they did not know who he was. And while Jesus Christ was with them, they were talking. And then Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 17, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And then they stood and they answered Jesus and said to him, basically, where were you when all these things happened? When they crucified the one we thought would be the Messiah, where were you? They were talking to Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 18, one of them, named Clopas, answered and said to him, that is to Jesus, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" So they're saying to Jesus Christ, "You didn't hear what happened recently?" And then Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him." And they said, "We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." So here they are talking to Jesus Christ, and they're saying to him, "You didn't know what happened recently, the crucified, the one in whom we believe would deliver Israel?" And then Jesus Christ said to them in verse 25, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And then Jesus Christ expounded the word to them, beginning with Moses. That is with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way to the prophets. And he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures, that is the Old Testament scriptures. And as they were walking along and they approached that village, they urged Jesus to stay with them. And it was becoming towards evening. And in verse 30, we read that Jesus Christ reclined at the table with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. And the Bible says in verse 31, Luke chapter 24, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. See that? They recognized him in fellowship. Specifically in verse 16, I want you to notice Luke chapter 24 and verse 16, it says, their eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. They did not know him at the beginning of this conversation. But here, when they were breaking bread with Jesus, we read that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And the scripture says he vanished. He vanished from the sight. He disappeared. And they said to one another in verse 32, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they arose at very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11. 11, of course, because Judas was not there, and those who were with them. And then verse 34, I want you to notice carefully, they said, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. So Simon was the first one. This Simon here, of course, is Cephas, who is Peter. And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. So Jesus appeared to this two. Then he appeared to Cephas. And there were other appearances. Right, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36 and following, it tells us how Jesus Christ appeared to them. And they were troubled in heart, and Jesus came to them. And while he was there, we read in verse 41, while they still could not believe it for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And verse 45, notice, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." I want you to notice again, he said previously in verse 31, chapter 24, their eyes were opened. And now again, he says, their minds were opened so they could understand the scriptures. So I want you to see that Jesus Christ is appearing to his disciples here to reveal who he is, to show them that he is alive, that he is not dead, because they did not believe that Jesus Christ came back from the grave. So all of these appearances during the 40 days that he spent on earth was to prove to them, to give them the assurance that he is alive, and he's alive not as a spirit, but he is alive as a human being. He's alive as a man. He is alive as someone who had flesh and bones, not a spirit. John 21 also, we would not read there. You can read this in your own time. Jesus Christ appeared to them, and he also had fellowship with them there. So Jesus Christ appeared, the people to whom Jesus appeared between his resurrection and ascension, they were the apostles, those whom he had chosen to be his apostles. And he appeared to them to give them the assurance that he is alive, that he has risen from the dead, that the resurrection of the Son of God is true. The third point I want to make is, and this is more important, the purpose of Jesus' appearances between his resurrection and ascension. Yeah, first of all, to prove that to his followers that he has risen. And secondly, to reveal to his followers that he is Lord. To prove to them, or to reveal to them, that he is Lord. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 24, and verse 34, at the end of his encounter with the two who were walking on the road to Emmaus, you recall what they said when their minds were opened? Luke 24 and verse 34. "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." Notice the title they called him, the Lord. Now, when you read of the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels before his resurrection, hardly any one of his followers referred to him by this title, Lord. Now, of course, in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus Christ asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter there didn't even understand what he was saying when he called Jesus Christ the Son of the living God. So it's until after his resurrection that they really began to refer to him as Lord. Notice in John chapter 20 and verse 18. John 20 And verse 18, this is Mary Magdalene when she came announcing to the disciples. Notice what she said. I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Notice how she referred to him, not teacher. I have seen the Lord. This is a post-resurrection title. Notice again in John 20, notice verse 19 and following. John 20, 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, that is a Sunday, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be to you. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Notice the title. Jesus therefore said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them. And when Jesus came. Now let me just pause here and say that, you know, Thomas has been given a bad rap over the years. We often call him Doubting Thomas. But there's absolutely nothing here that would have us come to that conclusion that he's doubting. He just simply wants evidence and proof that Jesus Christ is the person whom he said he is. He wants physical evidence that Jesus Christ is a person. He's a real person. He's the same person who died. So verse 25, John 20, the other disciples therefore were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. I underline that title in my Bible, wherever it shows up. But he, that is Thomas, said to them, unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will never believe. And that's where most of us refer to him as Doubting Thomas. But he's not doubting, he's just one evidence that Jesus has indeed risen. And then verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. So now he is not absent, he is with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. And Jesus Christ is repeating this here for Thomas's sake, because he was not there the first time when he pronounced this blessing upon them. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Now, all of the disciples were not believing. It wasn't just Thomas who was not believing. All of the disciples did not believe. But here he is giving Thomas specific evidence and proof that he's alive. So verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. See how he referred to him? Not my teacher, but my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. So here we see that Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. In John chapter 21, we have again Jesus Christ appearing to his disciples. John chapter 21, after this thing, Jesus manifested himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. They were together, Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Canaan and Galilee, and the whole list of the disciples here. Verse 4, But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I want you to admit, this is very important. All right, verse 4. They did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus therefore said to them, Children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. They cast therefore, and then they were not able to haul it because of the great number of fish. Verse 7, that disciple therefore whom Jesus loved, most likely is John, said to Peter, It is the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. And so when they got out of upon the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Here is Jesus Christ preparing this meal. And Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish which you have not caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 133. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And then verse 12, Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, Who you are, knowing that it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And after this incident here, there was a conversation between Jesus Christ and Peter, where Jesus asks Peter, Do you love me? Three times. And Peter says, Yes, Lord. He didn't say, Yes, teacher. Yes, Lord. So what is the point of this, that the disciples are now referring to Jesus Christ as Lord? Well, because they realize that Jesus Christ is a different person from whom he was before his resurrection. He is no longer the same Jesus Christ, the same person that he was prior to his resurrection. I want you to look at a verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Notice what it says. I want to read the context first. Notice in verse 12. He says, We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for us who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Notice verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. In other words, the apostles, after they received this revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, they see him now no longer after the flesh, no longer subject to death, but he is now the Lord. And that's very important, because I want to go now to the other reason why Jesus Christ revealed himself, not only to show them that he is Lord, but Jesus Christ spent 40 days with his disciples also because he wanted them to participate in his glory. He wanted them to share in his glory. You recall to read that he broke bread with them, he ate fish with them, he had fellowship with them, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And this is significant because Jesus Christ, when he rose again, he existed, as it were, in a different world. He was existing in the age to come. Jesus Christ was the kingdom of God personified. And so while he was sharing with his disciples, they were actually participating in the kingdom of God to come. In other words, they were already tasting heaven with him. And that's important, because it was on that basis that the apostles went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was on the basis of the fact that Jesus Christ fellowshiped with them after his resurrection that they were able to go out and preach that Jesus Christ rose again. And finally, Jesus Christ appeared to them for 40 days. He fellowshiped with them so that they can have hope, so that this was the foundation of their hope. And let me just put it this way. Let's suppose that you are having dinner with the Prime Minister of Canada or some significant figure. And while you were enjoying this meal, suddenly that person disappeared, or they had to leave halfway while this meal was happening, and they say that they will return. Of course, what we would do is to wait for that person to return. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. They were fellowshipping with Jesus Christ while he was there after his resurrection, and then Jesus Christ had to leave to go back up to the Father. And that was the basis of their hope. They constantly and continually waited and were looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what we are doing today. That is our hope. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ so that we too can have fellowship with him. And that was the purpose of the 40 days that he spent on earth between the resurrection and his ascension, to reveal himself to his apostles as Lord, and to give them hope, to give them assurance, and to give them this foundation of their preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that was the theme of all of the messages, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. So let me just end by saying today and right now that a true messenger of Christ must preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One who truly preaches Christ must preach that he died and that he rose again. Why? Because that is the hope that we need today. That is the hope that we need in this present time, that Jesus Christ has risen and that he's coming again. So may the Lord bless us. May the Lord keep us. May the Lord bless you as we continue to look forward to his coming. This is the hope of God's people. And this is our hope too, that we also shall rise again, even when we die. So be encouraged, my dear brothers and sisters, during these very difficult days of pandemic. May the Lord continue to strengthen your heart. Thank each of you. Thank each of you for continuing to persevere in the things of Christ. And let us continue to encourage one another for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious hope that you have promised us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who after he rose from the grave, he spent 40 days on the earth to give assurance to his followers that he indeed is risen. And we thank you that because he rose again, we also shall rise. And we look forward to the day when he shall come again. Our eyes look forward to Jesus Christ. This is our hope. We do not look at the things that are present, neither the things that we can see, but we look forward to the things that we cannot see. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to take us to be with him. So we bless you and we praise you for his name's sake. Amen and amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen.